Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. The Jays with another explosion at the plate. They put 8 runs on the board, 13 hits, and hitting is contagious, you know, as Charlie Montoya likes to say. And they're coming alive. Teoscar Hernandez, a couple bombs last night, a couple more hits today. Bichette, Biggio's getting hot. Vladdy's doing his thing like always. Jays are in a good place, man.
Shutting it down in the ninth, too. They're not coughing too many up in the ninth. I love it.
Right. Romano back on the mound today. 3 strikeouts to close out the game. Like, their bullpen has been outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Like, they're getting contribution from guys that, if everyone was healthy, they wouldn't even be in the position to contribute, right? They wouldn't even be on the team.
Right.
And they're getting contributions from a bunch of guys who are stepping in, like patchwork stuff because of injuries.
Dude, you put a heater staff on this squad, watch out, man.
That's what it's starting to feel like. You know, the bats are coming alive. The bullpen's been good. The defense is, you know, fundamentals are still a little bit sloppy at times. But that, I think, can get better over the course of the season and is still, you know, it's a work in process. It's a work in progress here in terms of Biggio, Bichette, even Vladdy at first. But you're 4 games above 500. Springer's played 2 games for you.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of injury problems. You played 25 games on the road. So
pretty tough schedule, too.
Right.
Absolutely. And they're going to have a lot against the AL East coming up. They've got 3 against Philly starting tomorrow, and then I believe 10 straight against the American League East. And that's ultimately how you make your bones, right? Like, you got to take advantage of the teams you're going to be competing with. And that's on the horizon here. But Jays are in a good spot. Really good spot. So Scott Mitchell will join us later in the hour. PJ Carlissimo coming up. The Leafs losing in overtime last night, but, you know, it's a formality as we've established, the team has established. Freddie Anderson got through it, you know. Like, I don't know what you saw, Noodles, in terms of how comfortable he looked. But
I thought he was solid. I mean, there was probably a few positional things that,
yeah,
you know,
slippery.
He was a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Like, the Brown shorthanded goal looked a little bit weird, but, I mean, you know, how about not give up a breakaway when you have the power play and you can avoid that situation, you know
right.
what I mean? Like,
yep.
That type of stuff. But I thought, for the most part, he looked kind of as I expected. You know, he didn't go out and handle the puck a ton. I thought he kept it very simple. He kept it – I always like to use the word economical, like just really kind of tight and moved around in the net and, you know, used his size to his advantage. You know, the Zaitsev goals of seeing eye shot, like they're – you know, there wasn't like a stinker goal. You know, even the is it Kelly, the Parker Kelly? Is that the one that went off the boards, come back? Like, he almost got that off the goal line. Like, that like just made it over. And then the game winning goal.
And then the OT winner, same thing. You got a cross. It just
got a cross. It just goes through a little bit. Like, if he's a little sharper, he comes across cleaner. But, you know, for the most part, I that's exactly what I expected out of him as far as just how he would feel and look for me anyways. And, you know, it's not like he has a long runway. You know,
exactly. That's probably going to be it for him, right? Like, Campbell, right. I think, is expected to start tomorrow night, should start tomorrow night if you're not playing until next Thursday.
Right.
You know, get a start in, feel fresh, be okay. I would assume he wants that. You know, mm-hmm. I'm assuming Jack Campbell would be seeking that out, like, give me the start, which is weird because I think a lot of the players would like the night off. You know, I think if they're being candid.
Oh,
I think they prefer not to play tomorrow night. But the goalie is, you know, he's trying to hold on to the position. Freddie's here now. He's been outstanding. And he's gearing up for the first playoff run of his career as a number one. Like, that'll be a big storyline next week.
Sure.
You know, that has always been there. We're aware of where it's going. It hasn't become official, but we know it. Jack Campbell's your starter game one. It'd be crazy to think otherwise.
Right.
But he's never been in a position in his career where he's the number one guy, you know, in the NHL. He's done it at the World Juniors. He's done it in Junior. But this is a different beast, man. Leafs, Habs, you're the number one guy. That's going to be a big part of the build-up next week.
That's where I was going. And we'll talk about it next week more at length. But as we start to dive into dissecting rosters and, you know, who has the most pressure and stuff like that, like, it's a little different, Jack Campbell. You know, Frederik Andersen got his first taste of the playoffs in Anaheim.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And then he, you know, graduated, or not graduated, but ended up here, and you feel the pressure. Jack Campbell, I know there's not crowds in the building, but, like, he's going to feel the pressure, like, feel, you know, the news and everyone talking about it. Like,
and it's in that room noodles, right? Like, these guys haven't won anything. Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner. You're looking at Joe Thornton. He's here. He's got one thing in mind this whole year. He's been quarantining in Toronto at 41 to win a cup or have that opportunity. Right. Like, there's so much of it around. You're not wrong in terms of the it'll be loud outside, even though it's via Zoom. Media is going to be 50 deep and people are going to be all over them and request left, right and center. But
you know what? The only thing it reminds me of when the Olympics, where was when they won the gold medal? It was
2014, I think it was.
But where was it? It was overseas.
Was that in Russia? No,
Russia,
it wasn't. In 18 was in Russia. I can't remember where
the
they were.
The one before, it was like, I remember talking to Carey Price. And I said, like, did you feel the pressure? Like, of you know, all of Canada watching you and stuff. And he was like, you know, I knew it was there, but I did my best to stay off social media. I did my best to not talk to too many people because he's like, it kind of traveled around. You knew that it was there. We'll get into it. But
yeah, it was. It was Sochi, actually. It was in Russia.
Yeah, Sochi. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
yeah, it was South Korea, I believe, in 18. But that's when Russia won the gold, but no NHL players were there.
Right.
So, yeah, well, that's a good point, though. Like, that's a reference point. And I guess you have that ability because no one's going to get in the room, right? Like, you got to do your Zoom, but beyond that, you can control all the noise for the most part. So we'll get into that later in the hour. Scott Mitchell coming up. We got to get Al's brothers in today too, right? Like, we keep saying it. That's on me. I keep saying Al's brother. It's his birthday today. We got to hear from Al's brother. Have to. But here is one of our favorites, longtime coach in the NBA, ESPN NBA analyst PJ Carlissimo joining us now on Overdrive. How you doing, PJ?
Excellent, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Well, we're in tank mode up here in Toronto, or I guess down in Tampa. It's kind of a different experience for us. We haven't been down this road in a long time, man. The Raptors have had quite the run the last 7 or 8 years. And I'd be curious, you know, I'm sure you've been in a position like the one Nick Nurse finds himself in, where you're tanking. You know, Lowry's not going, Siakam's not going, Ananobi's not going, Van Vliet, they're all out. How do you approach a team like this tonight? What do you think the message is from Nick Nurse?
You know, you really don't have to say anything. Guys are still going to play. I think that's always been one of the misconceptions, if you will. I mean, obviously, oftentimes it's controlled more by the front office than it is by the coaches. Sometimes it's joint. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just your hands are tied and, hey, here's the guys that are, eligible, if you will, or here's the roster where they have eight the other night, however many you have. The guys are going to play. The players don't really buy. Sometimes it's almost, you know, a little bit different. You get an effort out of a team. You look at a game and you go, well, there's no way this is going to happen. And then the team just plays hard. I think once you throw it up, the players play, to be honest with you. So I think they try. But, I mean, most times as a coach, your hands are tied more by what happens before the game than what happens during a game. When you consciously are playing young guys, I mean, Malachi's doing great. Did he get player of the month, rookie of the month
last month?
It's great. Sometimes you just decide, you make a decision. Hey, we're not going anywhere. Some of these guys might not even be here in the future. Let's play the young guys to find out what we have or give them a little bit of seasoning that's going to help them going forward. So there's different kind of factors that enter into it, but I've always felt that once the game starts, you just go and you try and play because you don't know what the other team's going to bring either. Because, you know, they look, it's like layup lines. You turn around, you're looking down at, when you see the players looking down at the other basket, and they don't recognize a lot of the people. That kind of tells you what kind of effort you're going to get from that other team. So often you don't say anything to the team. The team's going to play. They've been doing this long enough, and they want to do well for themselves. You know, Malachi's a perfect example. You got some young guys getting a chance to play that don't normally get a chance to play. They could care about tanking or anything like that. They're trying to get themselves a roster spot in the future.
PJ, we were trying to make sense of the Kyle Lowry situation. They ultimately did not trade him. He seems to rest for important games earlier. I mean, if he walks, what was ultimately the point of this?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think you don't make a bad deal, so he's a commodity. There's no question about that. I would not be surprised either way. And there's probably, I didn't follow it closely. Obviously, that was one of the names that was out there, and that was a name that would have been significant pickup for anybody. Would make a major difference going into, we always used to say April, May, and June, going into May, June, and July this year for the playoffs. I mean, his pedigree, the way he's still capable of playing, that would have been a huge factor. Either the offers were not, close to being fair or good enough to help the team going forward, we don't want to give him up. We want him to be here. I'm not sure what went into it, but yeah, going in, a lot of people were looking, well, where's he going to end up? Because that's really going to tilt the scales, whichever way it goes. I hope he ends up there, but I mean, it's almost the days of, guys staying with the franchise and playing with the, you look at Chris Bosh, you look at DeMar, that pretty much tells you, that's in Toronto's case. You look across the league, there's almost nowhere. It's kind of funny. Tim Duncan's going in this weekend, but like he's going in with KG and with Kobe. You got two that did stay with their franchise for a long time, and you got KG, who was the face of the Minnesota franchise for how many years, and then ends up winning a championship somewhere else. So it's just not the same anymore, to be honest with you. So selfishly, I'd love to see Kyle stay there, because I think that keeps Toronto more competitive. And I keep telling you guys every time, I'm dying to get back there if they'd open the border up again. And I'm looking to make some trips and cover some games up there, selfishly for me.
Oh, you're not alone, man. That's a two-way street, PJ. We wouldn't mind getting down there either.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And for the teams, it's, what the Blue Jays and what the Raptors have gone through is just, that's completely uncharted territory. What it's like to not be home, to be away for the most part for family, and to never have anything resembling a home court advantage. That's, I don't care that there's nobody in the stands. It's significantly different if you're playing it. I'm actually getting used to calling it Scotiabank now. I mean, it's different to play in your own building. And frankly, always it was kind of a weird plus, but it was a significant plus. The teams didn't like going to Toronto from the standpoint of dealing with customs and all the other things that went with it. That played into it also. So there were a lot of advantages to playing in the Air Canada Centre or Scotiabank in the past. And they'll be welcome in the future when it gets back to that.
Those old 12:30 tip-off on Sunday afternoons were very beneficial when the teams were in town the day before.
Yeah,
absolutely. When the teams flew in the afternoon before, you're like, this could work in our advantage, at least in the first quarter, first
for
half.
Sure.
Guys knocking the rust off for sure with PJ Carlissimo. The race for the coach of the year, I think, is a great one this year. It feels like it's a three-horse race at this point. Monty Williams in Phoenix, Quinn Snyder in Utah, and then Tom Thibodeau in New York. And for me, like, I don't think you can go wrong. Like, I think all three guys, Utah's been so good, and they're kind of lapping the field outside of Phoenix, but they've been pretty good for a while. Like, the difference here, I think, is Phoenix and New York, where Phoenix, they were waiting to pounce, and Chris Paul's played a big role in that, but Monty Williams has done a spectacular job. But for me, for narrative, because it's New York, something tells me Thibodeau might get there, and they clinched last night. But where do you stand on this? If you had a vote here, PJ, would there be one in particular that stands out among the rest?
Well, they're all different degrees of good friends, to be honest with you. But I'd go with Quinn for the reason you said in the beginning, but I'd turn it around the other way. He's done a really good job there for a while, and I like that. I like the longevity. I just think Quinn has done an excellent job at Utah, and the fact that they are the best team in the league, they have been the best team in the league, pretty much the entire year. I give him the nod for sure. I got no problem. Like, what you go back to before those eight games in a row that Phoenix won, yeah, everybody liked Devin Booker. Yeah, everybody said, yeah, Devin Booker's a really good player. But I mean, really, if you go back to the end of the bubble before they ran the table, I think it was eight in a row that they won there, no one even talked about Phoenix. They go from that. And even after they won the eight, and didn't quite make it in the bubble. Everybody said, yeah, they're going to be better this year, but how much better can they be? Well, you're right. Chris Paul made an enormous difference, but Monty's done an incredible job turning that around, and nobody thought, no one's surprised that Tibbs has done a great job, but nobody thought the Knicks, you know, if I told you before this thing started that A, Toronto's not going to be in the playoffs, Knicks and Atlanta are going to be in this new format, and the Celtics, maybe the Lakers, and I'm forgetting somebody because I started my train of thought here. The Lakers, the Celtics, there's three icon franchises, Golden State, maybe in the play, and you just said, as usual, that I'm out of my mind. But, I mean, it's everything that's happened. I like Tibbs. I agree with what you said. It's a cop-out. It's one of those years where I'd love to see them share it, but you know that's not going to happen. Whoever gets it of those three is going to be a very deserving winner, but I like Quinn because it's the body of work.
PJ, I got a good feeling about my Brooklyn Nets to go on a run here. Do you think they can flip the switch and play D and go the
distance? No, I know they can't flip the switch and play D. They can win games. They can maybe win the whole thing.
Will they win the whole thing is what I want.
No, I don't think so, but I just think it's too much to overcome. Did Kyrie play last night? Has it gone from 7 to 8 games these guys have played together yet, or was it still 7?
No,
I
thought it was 7.
Night.
Yeah, I mean, Harden did the mic drop after the game last night where, you know, he said, hey, listen, it's not my fault. I'm a really good player, and I'm an unselfish player. Meanwhile, he jacks up shots all the time.
Who's beating them, PJ? Who's beating them?
That's a better question. I think Philadelphia is the one that if you had to pick somebody else in the East, you like Philadelphia. If those two guys are – when those two have been healthy, and I'm talking about specifically about Embiid and Simmons, and I think they've improved the team. I think the moves they made with the shooters on the perimeter, Philadelphia's a much better team. They're a good defensive team. I could see Philadelphia beating them. Milwaukee's just hard to analyze. I mean, they were the best team in the conference the last 2 years in the regular season and disappointed themselves in the playoffs, but you can't be surprised if Milwaukee steps up and plays well also. 7 games, I don't think it's just going to be the defense. I just think it's going to be, you got to wonder about the health. I mean, if they've just been pacing this whole thing and now all of a sudden the three of them are going to be able to play every game and not have an injury, you got to question. You have to wonder about that a little bit. I know that there's rest involved and they let these guys to an extent decide when they could play, when they couldn't. Like, it almost seems like Kevin's not arguing, but debating with Steve. He wants to play more right now, and Steve's trying to keep him healthy for the playoffs. But I would not be surprised if either of those two, I don't see a Miami or somebody like that making a run this year like they were able to do last year in the bubble, regardless of whether Jimmy Butler is healthy. And I just think it's too much to ask for an Atlanta or a New York. But is Brooklyn good enough to win the East? Yeah. Are they good enough to win the whole thing? Yeah. But there's just something about missing that many games and not being as good defensively, and frankly, not being a really good rebounding team either. I just think it's going to take them a little time when they're all on the floor together, or when Steve decides which way he's going to rotate to make sure Joe Harris gets some shots, and you know, some of these other guys that are capable of producing. I just think a lot of the things you would have sorted out in the regular season by playing games are still unanswered, and I think it may bite Brooklyn at some point in the playoffs.
Yep, I love hearing that, and I'm a supporter of it, and I hope it's true in the end. We'll let you go with that, PJ. We always appreciate the time. We're a week away from the playoffs. It's going to be awesome, and I'm sure we'll catch up again soon. Thank you for this.
We will for sure. I look forward to visiting in person with you guys sometime soon.
Yep, just a matter of time, buddy.
Weeks.
We'll get there. Right. A couple more weeks. That's right, a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you, PJ. PJ Carlesimo of ESPN. Couple more weeks, and we'll get there. And you know he's putting on a tour when it comes to the restaurant scene up here in Toronto. Our boy PJ Carlesimo goes out for dinner every single night of the year, 365. And I love that routine.
Gotta respect.
For 10 years.
It's so respectful. So respected and respectful.
Years.
Christmas, Christmas Eve,
Jamie, when you were playing in the NHL, how many times did you make dinner at home?
Quite a bit. I don't know.
No.
I mean, I used to cook my own pre-games like all the time. Or, like, for example, in St. Louis, there was a place called Crazy Bowls and Wraps. And I loved that place. Like, had these wraps
crazy,
and stuff.
That's such a you place. Crazy Bowls and Wraps. I just like the idea because you're single, you're in the NHL. After practice, fellas, let's go tee it, or let's go to a nice lunch, and then a little nap, and then later on, nice dinner, and that's it.
Believe me, I ate out a lot, but it was like Joey's, Mongoli Grill, stuff like that. But, like, you know, back then, this is where you weren't, like, nutrition wasn't at the rink. You had to go eat with the guys.
Always had bagels and bread. I bet you this is a weird thing to understand. I went on a 5 or 6 run where I didn't eat or shower at home. Think about that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Like, I think it's shocking. I should be surprised, but based on knowing you the way I do.
Well,
I'm
you
not.
Shower at the rink twice a day. Why am I taking a third shower at home?
We've been down that road before. I hear it. Like, I get it. I mean, you also have off days where sometimes you don't go to the rink, but
right.
And maybe you got something going on that night. And you're
off
just
days, you always go in and have a hot tub and an executive workout. So then you shower there.
Right. Even off days, you're going in there. Maybe you got some medical or maybe.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were shower every day guy.
I am shower every day guy.
I am.
You guys are a fraud. You're both frauds. You're
what I love about – I love how matter-of-fact you were when you're like, who eats at home when you're in the NHL? And Noodles basically just admitted minimum 2 meals a day at home.
Well, breakfast was at the rink or shake or whatever, and then lunch either with the boys or dinner with the boys, but not both. Unless it turned into like – lunch turned into dinner because we
had
a couple
Nashville
days
or
off.
Something
or
like that.
Yeah, you're bummed. But like I always felt like I always had food at home and I could cook. Like I've always been a guy. Now I'm not a great cook. I just cook chicken and pasta. Like
I'm not cooking for one person. It's a pain in the ass.
It is annoying.
Go out and you get a meal, a healthy meal, and you go home.
Well, do we have Al's brother Mullen? I know I'm putting us back on the spot here, but the birthday boy. Okay, he's going to head back into studio because I'm curious about Al's brother's plan. Like, it's a birthday night for him, and, you know, he's a young guy. And
charcuterie.
I got to think charcuterie. Yeah, I mean, but a charcuterie for one is impossible. Like, I've never heard of that before. You can't do a charcuterie for one.
Breakfast charcuterie with a skillet, the ultimate skillet from Denny's.
Okay, there he is, Al's brother in studio, the birthday boy himself. Happy birthday, Al's brother. How are you feeling today, buddy?
Thank you. I'm feeling old. Very, very old.
How old are you? Yeah, confirm
this. 27. Hayes guest. Oh, there he is.
You're 27?
Yeah, 27, 94 birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like I'm relatively young in the terms of, like, you know, grand things, but for some reason I woke – it wasn't so much 26. 26 was a year for me where I was like, man, I'm old. It was because you're over the hill of 25. I know you guys are a little bit older
sickening
than I am.
Sickening to hear that.
But that's how I felt.
I want to throw up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's really sickening.
That's how I felt. 27 well, wasn't that bad. I woke up today. I was like, whatever.
What was the feeding schedule today? Anything good?
I wish I had a better story for you guys. I somewhat, you could say, is a charcuterie board, but it was more so a charcuterie of whatever leftovers were left in the fridge. It was all put into like one big lunch. So there was like some leftover chicken from the other day, some sausage, cut up some fruit, put a salad.
Beautiful.
So it was all right.
It's a charcuterie.
Yes. A medley. You put a medley together.
Exactly. A little smorgasbord of whatever was in the fridge. But
and the follow-up question is, have you been stretching and or sprinting?
I did like a couple of sprints over the last couple weeks. I did not do it as often as I probably should have and wish I did. And now when we go and do that run, it's going to be interesting.
Okay, what do we have a timeline on that? Are we letting the cat out of the bag? What
tomorrow the 200-meter flush starts.
Oh, no.
Hopefully. So we're shooting this tomorrow. The two of you are running 200. The day after Al's brother's birthday, we're going to put him back on the track. And make him run 200. That's what
it's
you're telling
like
me?
He's going to be at the Sundowner tonight until 4 in the morning. Okay,
right.
We will be ready, and we're not giving you the results. We just we'll have it done. The 200 meter happening tomorrow.
Are the results? Are we going to watch them? Like we get to react live to them on air?
Not live. They'll be
that.
Recorded,
well, us,
but you're not seeing them.
Me and Hayes get to see them for the first time.
Yes.
At what time are we laying it out? Because I may not sleep tonight. Like, I might be so excited.
Yeah, we're going to have access to it tomorrow? Like, will the tape
be available? Yeah, 425. Fire it up.
I would assume so. We're going to have to try and logistically, we still, I think, got to figure some things out. But I think that's the plan as of now, is to get it done early in the afternoon and then have it turned around and ready to go for showtime.
This is my birthday now. It's my birthday.
This is Christmas for us.
What are the projections? What do you guys think for time-wise? 200-meter dash, we'll call it.
And you hold on. You did 40 in like around 10?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? We'll call it 10 flat.
And that was 40 yards, not even 40 meters. So, right. You know, do them. I honestly, I don't think either of you are breaking. You're not breaking a minute. Like, there's obviously that's not happening. There's no way.
A minute?
That's my goal.
I don't think you're breaking a minute.
I think one of you
stops.
That's
so pathetic if our goal is to run the 200-meter dash in under a minute.
Do you honestly think you could do it in under a minute?
I do. Actually, my goal is more so 50 seconds, I would say.
Like, yeah,
we used to do
too.
The 100-meter back in, like, school, right? And
yeah.
I was able to do it
I used to do the 232 seconds.
Well, not 10s. That's, like, Olympian style.
You know what I mean? 10 or 12 seconds,
like 20,
right?
Like it took about, like, 18 to 20 seconds, I would say, me to do it back then. I've put on a couple pounds since. Might be a little slower at the gate, but I think I should be able to do it in roughly 50 seconds. That's my goal is.
That's
we'll
both
figure
of
it
us.
Out tomorrow.
You're speaking for both of us.
Listen, Noodles, think of a time. We'll make an announcement tonight, like before the end of the show. You and I will clock in our times with the ability to adjust before we see the tape tomorrow.
Right. Over under?
We got I think so.
Hayes, do you have a piece of paper? Like, let's hold it up before
yes.
we go. Like, with our times on it, and then we can readjust as we, like, at 4:05 tomorrow go. Like,
okay.
What's our gut feeling?
Yeah, put some more thought into it tonight. Like, really review the tape and get a read on these two. And all right, I am so excited now. I'm so fired up. I don't care what happened today in this province. I am jacked up because we have a 200-meter dash tomorrow. Dashing.
You have to call it the 200 dash.
It's got to be. It deserves that level of respect. So Al's brother and the O-Dog are running the 200 tomorrow. The tape will be available. The audio will be available. We're going to break it down tomorrow. That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that. Happy birthday, Al's brother.
Yep. Happy birthday, buddy.
And get to bed early tonight, man. No
Big
messing
day.
Around.
Big right? day.
Yeah. You need to shut it down and no charcuteries tonight. You need to just eat clean, live clean, sleep right. Get up and burn tomorrow.
Stretch.
Should carb load like my boy Dougie in those Sonic commercials, right?
Yes. Well, that's one way of doing it, too. Old school like Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah.
Carb load. I don't think we need to carb load Al's brother.
No, I think you need to be more like the modern athletes as opposed to Dougie Gilmore and the crew. All right, Al's brother. Good seeing you, buddy. Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, our buddy Al's brother. Gearing up for a dash tomorrow. World-renowned 200 meters of dashing between the O-Dog and Al's brother.
I can't believe you guys think over a minute. I'm sickened by that.
Noodles, am I wrong? I mean, you speak on this.
Here's what I'm going to say.
I'm
around a minute. Yeah, let's get into it right when we come back. But I'm around a minute, but I believe there will be a pause for a sec. Like somebody's going to pause and then start running
again.
Well,
the clock keeps – you can't call timeout while you're running the 200 meter.
No.
That's what's going to get you over a minute if stops.
We might be talking 2, 3, 4 minutes.
No.
I might put
dude,
down
– shut up, man.
Does
come on,
DNF.
Dude.
DNF
no.
does not finish.
Does not finish. That might be my official clocking.
We'll finish.
Okay. Scott Mitchell coming up. We'll get his take on this. Jays are red hot. They're back in action tomorrow down in Dunedin. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Before we get fired up here with Scotty Mitch, some unfriendly, non-supporting tweets from a guy like Jerry D who said, "You both will walk the last 50 meters."
I think that's totally accurate and
no.
appropriate. There's no way you guys are actually lifting your knees to finish the
race.
What
about what we did? We weren't that fast in the 40, but what about what we did would make you think we can't finish 200?
Well, Al's brother looked like, he looked like a hobby horse at the end. He wasn't bending his knees. He looked like Gump, Forrest Gump in the knee braces.
Right.
That was after 40 meters.
40 yards.
Sorry, 40 yards, yeah.
So that alone, the video evidence, to answer your question, speaks to a big concern. And your complete lack of activity, exercising, you're not going to stretch. You're not going to prepare properly. You're not going to eat properly beforehand. I'm telling you, it's going to get ugly.
You'll be wearing mandals, too. He might be wearing the mandals
to
run.
Mandals.
Well, you better wear the proper attire. Because you were wearing like jorts or something last time and a hoodie,
dude.
Right?
They were like nice fitted sweatpants. That's what I'll be wearing tomorrow too.
All right, Noodles and I are going to make a call at the end of the show. Subject to change by the beginning of tomorrow. Here's our Jays reporter Scott Mitchell. What do you have a guess for Al's brother and the O-Dog running the 200? You think they can crack a minute or what?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what's going on here. 200 meters? That yep. A minute? I mean, you can do
come
anything.
On, Scotty.
A fitted tracksuit, though. You can do anything. You can do anything if that tracksuit's fitted right. So
that's right.
I'll take the under on a minute.
Okay. All right. That's the line right now. It's been set at a minute flat.
I'll take the over on blown hammies as well. So
yeah, the Michael Johnson and what was it? Donovan Bailey and Michael. Was that?
That's right. That was at the Dome.
Yeah.
Michael Johnson pulled up a chicken. He was being a chicken at the Dome. It's precisely what happened. Well, it's too bad that the Red Hot Jays couldn't be returning to Toronto as opposed to heading back down to Dunedin, because 6-0 against Atlanta is pretty incredible. And it's not like the Braves, really no teams out of the NL East have come out of the chute flying. But this was as impressive, if not more impressive, than the 3-game series down in Dunedin, because Acuna, prior to the injury, I mean, he had a couple of bombs. There were the Braves, you know, they threw everything at them, and the Jays just found a way to make it happen. And a couple of come-from-behind wins as well. What's impressed you the most over the past 3 days and, in general, what they've done against Atlanta this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, no matter how they came out of the gates, you know, the Atlanta Braves are a team that was one win away from making the World Series last year. So it's a pretty darn good ball club, and, you know, unfortunate news with Mike Soroka there, but I mean, you have to be impressed with the way the Jays lineup looks right now. And I mean, you know, we've talked about the bullpen all year, and that's essentially the unit here that's been carrying them for the most part. But, you know, the lineup is starting to really find its groove. And it was funny after the game, Bo Bichette, obviously big key hit there today. You know, he was asked if this was the lineup, the offense that he kind of envisioned back in spring training. And he said no, because he hasn't seen everyone get hot yet. And you look at it, you know, Biggio has been up and down. Gurriel's been ice cold for the most part. And obviously Springer's been hurt. So, you know, I do think there's another gear to this offense, and that's what it's going to be about. And Montoya said it, you know, pretty bluntly as well. He said, you know, the offense gives us a chance every single day, and it's up to the pitching to hold up in its end of the bargain, you know, in terms of winning ball games. And look, I mean, they got the third best run differential in the American League. So you can't really ask for more up to this point, even if it looks like an imperfect roster.
Scotty, I don't think it's any secret they were sniffing around at shortstop, whether it be Lindor, the price was probably too high on that. You mentioned in the summertime some different options, the wintertime some different options. Bo Bichette is there now. How do you think he's fared to kind of his answer back to the organization? Offense, defense, total package.
Yeah, I mean, look, the offense isn't going to be an issue. And, you know, I don't think it's been a perfect start for Bo at the plate, but, you know, it's good enough. And when you look at the hit tool and you look at kind of what he's deciding to swing at, just the talent level there, you know, totally fine. And it's interesting on the glove side, because that's, you know, what is going to turn him into a long-term superstar at shortstop if he can really make some strides there. And we talked about it a lot for the first kind of 4 or 5 weeks of the season, a little up and down. I think he's really found a little bit of a level of consistency and you know, over these past probably 2 weeks. And that's what it is for Bo. He's a young player. He's learning. He's growing in the position. And you're going to see this, you know, inconsistent defense out of him, because he's still trying to figure things out and still working on stuff. So I think, you know, it's a good thing if you're the Blue Jays and you see him kind of find that groove over the last little while. And, you know, this is what it is. It's his first 162 game season. There's going to be more ups and downs. And I think the best part is you see him come out of the downs with the same sort of confidence and the ability to really make all the plays. But you know, it's just about consistency, and that's what separates a really, really good Gold Glove shortstop from just an okay guy, is the consistency. Bo can make all the plays. It's whether he's going to make them consistently, and I think these last 2 weeks have really shown, you know, he is able to do it. And you know, let's check back in August and September, you know, when kind of the physical toll, you know, physical kind of grind takes a toll. We'll see what the defense looks like then. And, you know, it's an evaluation year. And then, you know, talking in October, November, we'll, you know, we know all those shortstops are out there. And, you know, it's really on Bo over these next 4 or 5 months to prove that he can stay there. And I think these last couple of weeks after a tough start have been positive on that end.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, the Jays wrapped up a sweep at the hands of Atlanta. They roll into Atlanta, take all three. They've beat them 6 times this year. They're 4 games over .500, a game back of the Red Sox in the AL East. They head home now. 25 games on the road as well. Springer's only played 2. They've had injury issues. I mean, this is – I think they should be feeling very positive about where they are right now. And it feels like they're clicking. The bats are starting to come alive. They're in a good spot. But, you know, there's always different topics that will pop up over the course of the season. And I think the catching position is one of them right now, Scotty, where Reese McGuire is getting starts. You know, this is a guy who didn't break camp with them. And then Kirk goes down. He's going to be on the IL for quite some time. And I think Jansen's play has opened the door for Reese McGuire maybe to step in here. Where do you see this going?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, Reese McGuire obviously got attention a year ago for all the wrong reasons. But when you look at kind of his body of work and what he brings, I mean, this guy was a first-round pick, you know, by the Pirates a few years back for a reason. He's got a, you know, real good defensive resume. Pitchers like throwing to him. You know, he can catch and throw. He can control a running game. It's just what you're going to get out of the bat. And the fact that, you know, you're not getting anything out of Danny Jansen's bat, yeah, it really does open the door for McGuire, because at worst, it's a wash because he's a good defender. So, you know, I think when you look at this position, almost, you know, if you could combine Reese McGuire, Danny Jansen, and Alejandro Kirk, you could take all their best skills, you'd have an all-star catcher. But, you know, obviously, these guys have major warts, whether it's defense with Kirk, whether it's, you know, trying to even swing a league average bat in Jansen and McGuire's case. You know, I really look at this spot, you know, as a potential upgrade spot by the deadline. And, you know, I didn't feel that way a couple months ago. But I think when you look at, you know, what they've got back there, can you go into a playoff game, you know, against the best teams in baseball and, you know, hope to get, you know, enough offense and enough defense out of these guys? I think, you know, you don't have to look far. You look up the road to the New York Yankees and, you know, what they've dealt with Gary Sanchez over the past couple of years, essentially losing them a couple of playoff games with his glove. You know, I really think the Blue Jays over these next kind of 6 weeks are going to investigate, you know, kind of what's out there on the trade market. You know, until then, these guys are going to get opportunities. And, you know, I think Kirk was starting to steal some playing time, you know, before he got hurt. And, you know, obviously unfortunate that he's not going to be back probably now till end of June or July. But when you look at this situation, I think you do need to get more out of the catcher position, you know, down the stretch. So whether they do that internally and you know, one of these guys steps up and runs with it, or they have to make a trade, I think it's definitely on the checklist.
Are you surprised they stuck with Reese McGuire after that incident, Scotty? I kind of like it, to be honest with you. I don't. Obviously, it's an embarrassing situation, but I just, when guys get tossed to the trash, and Nick Saban has a great rant about it, young kids. Are you just surprised that whole transaction ended up the way it did?
Well, to be honest, I mean, yeah, a little bit. I think at the time, I know there were murmurs down in Florida of them kind of, you know, cutting him loose and moving on at the time. And, you know, I think, you know, fortunately for Reese, I think the timing of it all kind of conspired to help him a little bit. Obviously, you know, in spring training, it was early. Things were kind of going on. Other stories were happening. And then obviously the pandemic and then it kind of, you know, flew under the radar and kind of got swept under the rug. And I think that kind of gave him, you know, a little bit of a fresh start within the organization when the pandemic kind of hit, and obviously, you know, they forgot about him sitting in a Dollar Tree parking lot in February. So, you know, I know Reese, obviously. I've always thought, you know, very respectful, very nice guy, and, you know, I don't know what went into that story and what happened, but, you know, it looks like he's rebounded and recovered, and he's going to get another opportunity to, you know, maybe make a mark here.
Yep, I mean, he's got 2 of the 3 starts in Atlanta. We'll see what happens as they head home against the Phillies this upcoming weekend. But the Jays are in a good spot, and ultimately it's going to come down to how they perform in the American League East, right? Like, when everything shakes out at the end of the year, generally speaking, the team that wins the division has a plus record against the division, and they're going to have a lot of that coming up where they're going to play a lot of teams in the AL East. And the division is shaken out the way it has historically, right, Scotty? Like, I think it's time to believe that the Red Sox bats alone are going to keep them in this. And the Yankees have won 4 in a row. Jays are there. Tampa's at 500. Like, I think it's going to be a race, which is probably what we should have expected anyway.
Yeah, man, AL beast. You know, I think the even more intriguing kind of, you know, side plot to all this is going to be, three, four, maybe even four teams if you throw the Rays in that mix. But, you know, historically they're not big, you know, adders. But I think you look at the Red Sox, Yankees, and Jays, and they all have the same needs. And going into that July 30th trade deadline, you know, man, if Max Scherzer comes on the market, you know, one of these aces from a team that falls out of the race, you know, it's ante up. Which team in the AL East is going to ante up for that ace? And, you know, that's going to be the favorite heading down the stretch, because all four of these teams are pretty good ball clubs in their own ways.
Absolutely. It should be a good one this weekend. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, fellas. Take care. Take care of the hammies.
Nice.
Yep. The hammies will be taken
Whatever,
care of.
Pal.
Don't
Whatever,
you worry
pal.
About that. Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Jays again sweeping the Braves, and they're back in Dunedin taking on Philly tomorrow. And they're four games above 500. The bats are coming alive. Teoscar Hernandez, Jordan Romano closed out the game today. He looked good. And chicken strips, 9 strikes, strikeouts, only one walk, a lot like Robbie Ray a couple nights ago. So positive vibes, you know, here with the Blue Jays.
It's all good. It's fun to watch, man.
It absolutely is. It's needed, man. You need the Jays rolling. You need the Leafs rolling, which is what's happening.
Every Jays fan's going to flick it on to watch them, because it's Jays. Win or lose, it's like the game's on. But when they're good, it's just like you don't have that little nap. You're just into it, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, I look forward to the games every single day. It's a real escape. Like sports, luckily it's here for us, right? Like, we've got sporting events. And
there was a time there it wasn't. I don't know how we even look back and functioned, but it at least you got something to look forward to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Local teams. Leafs Habs coming up. We're a week away from Leafs Habs, man. That's going to be awesome. And Jays, again, are red hot right now. And you got the Preakness this weekend. And we just went through the Kentucky Derby, the fastest 2 minutes in sports. And now we might be able to replicate that with the 2 minute, the 200-yard, 200-meter dash, courtesy of Al's brother and the O-Dog.
I feel like I did a pretty good calculation of where these guys are going to end up.
Yeah, okay.
Just based on meters and yards and what their times were and stuff, I think I'm in that wheelhouse.
Okay, you save that. We'll come back. We'll get into it.
Bring him in. Bring our buddy in.
We're
going to
get Al's brother back in. Yep, for sure. Full promo, because you guys are going to run it tomorrow. We're hoping we can reveal it and play it tomorrow. But my understanding is there's a lot of production that's going into this. We're flying in Scorsese.
Dude, we did it on Al's brother's phone the last time.
There's more angles. This is more of a production.
Yeah, we're on a photo finish.
And it's got to be done properly. So we want to make sure that we can – we owe this to the audience, right? So you're going to run it tomorrow. Hopefully we play it tomorrow. If not, we save it for Monday. What a tease. Imagine having to sit on this for a whole weekend.
We're playing it tomorrow. Trust me. If we can do it on a phone, there's no holdups.
Listen, Scorsese's coming
in. I'm the executive producer.
I want TSA to send a crew.
Coppola's coming in. They're all coming in. They're all coming in, right? So this is a big event, and it's the biggest event going right now, the 200-meter dash. As of tomorrow. So Al's brother will come in. We'll let you guys make your final pitch for what you think you're going to run it in tomorrow. Noodles, you and I will make our announcement as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. There it is. Mariano Rivera, a.k.a. Al's brother, the closer himself. And he looks like he's coming out of the bullpen. The two of you are coming out of the bullpen tomorrow. You're going to be on the track. You're running 200 meters. And this is what we've been waiting for. I'm so jacked up for this. I can't wait. The total has been set. I mean, we're putting at – it's 1 minute flat. And you're getting some people that support it, think you'll be well below a minute. Others that don't think that's going to happen.
Who said it's going to be over a minute? Name one person.
Jerry D.
Yeah, Jerry D. Jerry
said
D.
You walked the last 50 meters. That'll take you a minute to do that.
Yeah, so, you guys don't walk that fast.
That's
either.
Fake news.
I've seen you walk.
That is fake news.
Fake news.
All right, go ahead. Make your pitch on why you guys think you're going to, set records here? What are we talking, Al's brother?
Dude, I think under 50 minutes is a comfortable jog. Go ahead, Al's brother.
Well, it's 200 meters. It's not like we have to run for 10 minutes straight here. I think a lot of us have had some drunken stumbles where we've taken a 200-meter dash before. So it's not like it's something that we haven't done before. It's been a while, I'll say that. But I think that I could at least, once the adrenaline gets going, I'll get some Mariano Rivera going in my ears, some Sandman, right. And I think that I'll be able to run this thing.
Okay, so Al's brother sounds confident. Oh, you're uber confident for whatever reason. That's fine. You guys should be confident. It's your race. But Noodles, you've been awfully quiet over there. You've been calculating some numbers, crunching the numbers.
Well, here's what I'm putting on my sheet of paper. 70 seconds. And here's why. Because I did 200 meters is 218 yards. You guys ran the 40 in 11 seconds, roughly.
This guy's
10,
doing
8.
Expected goals on a
right.
Run.
Basically, I've broken it down. So if you do that, that's 1.09. That's 12
that's right.
seconds per, you know, like honestly, and you times that by 5.45, that puts you at 65 seconds, and there's no drag on that
there's
as you
buffer.
Get tired.
There's a buffer.
So I rounded up to 70 seconds.
Takes a bit to get going on that 100, though, whereas I think once we get going, we'll keep a decent pace, and that should be able to help us out here.
I'm already
making adjustments. I have O at 109.4 and Al's brother at 112.7. But your calculations, there's got to be more of a buffer. I might be 125 by tomorrow. I'm going to put a lot of thought into this tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to put some thought into it, too.
The fastest 2 minutes in sports happens somewhere in the GTA tomorrow. Al's brother, good luck. O-Dog,
good luck.
Good luck. Stretch it out. Eat right. Sleep right. Cannot wait for this. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Try to sleep if you can. We're back tomorrow at?
Don't blink. We might run by 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.